Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. On the docket, first, a Doulos update. Second, a Heidi Broussard update. An update in the Harvey, he is a pig, Weinstein update. An absolutely horrendous case in Arizona, and our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Wow, what a day. I love when I have a good day in court, but today on the docket, first, let's talk about Fotos Doulos. For those who do not know, Fotos Doulos was indicted for allegedly killing his wife, perhaps chopping her up and disposing of her body over Connecticut. For those of you who do not know, Fotos Doulos was charged ultimately with the killing of his wife, Jennifer Doulos, his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, as well as his friend and attorney, Mr. Mwahini. Mr. Doulos' girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, is out on bond, also charged with the death of Jennifer Doulos, as well as Mr. Doulos' friend and former personal attorney, Mr. Mwahini, who still remains in custody. Well, yesterday, Mr. Doulos had to be in court for a modification of his bond hearing. Apparently, Mr. Doulos had better things to do and apparently tried to kill himself by carbon monoxide poisoning. The police skedaddled over to his residence, found him. It looked like he was going to die. Initial reports were that he was going to die. But the police and paramedics continued to administer CPR. He was ultimately transported to the hospital, and according to his attorney, Norm Pattis, had a very weak pulse, but he had a pulse nonetheless. They apparently sent him off to New York State to a hospital there where he could receive treatment in a hyperbaric chamber to get all that bad stuff out of his blood and get things going. And according to Mr. Pattis today, Mr. Fotos Doulos is in dire condition, but Mr. Pattis is holding out hope that he will in fact make a speedy recovery. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Don't think it's going to look too good for Mr. Fotos Doulos, whatever happens. We mentioned it yesterday that, you know, attempting to kill yourself and ultimately killing yourself during the pendency of charges can be chalked up as a sign of consciousness of guilt. Because if you were innocent, you would want your day in court, obviously. And, you know, obviously maybe people have different concerns, but the reality of it is it just doesn't look good for him at all. So if he recovers, his bond will more than likely be revoked. And so yesterday in the comments section, there were lots of questions regarding bond. So let's just quickly go over that. When somebody gets arrested and a bond amount is set, usually a defendant has three options. Let's just say it's a $100,000 bond, okay? You can post $100,000with certified funds with the clerk of the court. You can post property equal to $100,000, and some jurisdictions want 1.5 times the property value, but that's usually a big hassle because you have to get it assessed and have clean title, and it's just a pain. And then the third way is you go through a bondsman. All right. A bondsman is an agent for an insurance company, and the insurance company says, yeah, I'll take that risk. But like most insurance companies, there is no real risk. So they say, your $100,000 bond, we'll post it. First, you have to give us 10% normally. So you have to have $10,000 cash. All right. That goes to the bondsman. They post the bond, and they have what they call a power or a consent saying, I guarantee this bond for $100,000. But the insurance company is not taking any risks, so they say, I want the collateral. Why? Because if you show up, the court really doesn't want the money. They want the defendant. So if somebody doesn't show up for court, warrant issues, notice goes to the bail bonds person. Hey, this person didn't show up. You need to pay us $100,000. Bail bonds person, if they're doing their job right, maybe has them on their own GPS system or has just about an idea of everywhere this individual would go in case they, in fact, skip bond. The bail bondsman will then go take some bounty hunters, go pick him up take him to the court and say, here he is, or surrender him straight to the jail. Insurance company doesn't have to pay. The only time the insurance company doesn't have to pay is after a certain point of time that the bail bonds person says, I just cannot find the defendant. I have no idea where he is. And the insurance company will have to pay. So the insurance company will then use the collateral. Usually it's like mom's house, you know, grandpa's house that they put up because he had it free and clear. And so when little Johnny hits the town and they can't find him, when he goes on the lam, the insurance company takes, you know, grandpa's house so that they can use that to recover their money that they had to pay for the court. So that's probably, or that is a general overview of the bonding system. A lot of people aren't familiar with it. And in today's world, hell, everybody gets a PR bond. Some days, even I, as a criminal defense attorney, but as a member of the community, am offended by the amount of PR bonds that are given and given the cases that are receiving PR bonds these days. Sometimes the pendulum can swing just a little too far. Let me know, what do you think? Now, also, if you have not subscribed already, please hit that little subscribe button, hit the little thumbs up, hit the bell so you receive notifications, and always leave us a comment. Next on the docket, the Heidi Broussard matter. For those of you who do not know, Heidi Broussard was the mother who was found at her best friend's condominium house, basically stuffed in a duffel bag in the trunk of her car. What makes this even more tragic was that a lot of people thought that Ms. Broussard's fiance, mother of the, or the father of the child, was in fact possibly responsible for her disappearance. No, it turns out a woman by the name of Megan Firamusca was the one who's responsible for Ms. Broussard's disappearance and death. Originally, Ms. Firamusca was charged only with tampering with evidence. I had a lot of people ask me, why has she not been charged yet? Well, she wasn't going anywhere. There's already been issues raised about competency, and the statute of limitations hadn't run yet, and the district attorney was probably going to do everything they can to make sure they got it right to see if anybody else was involved. No one else has been charged at this point, and in fact, Ms. Firamusca's boyfriend really thought that she was apparently pregnant. He was surprised to find out that she wasn't. She was holding herself out as pregnant. And ultimately, Ms. Firamusca is alleged and is presumed innocent until and if she is found guilty by a jury or she pleads guilty. The good thing about this story is that the 3-week-old daughter, Margot, is home safely with family. We'll continue to follow this case. I think there's going to be lots of mental health issues in that particular case, and it will, in fact, be interesting. Next on the docket, yes, another Harvey Weinstein update. And the trial continues, and more witnesses that are being called to establish the pattern under 404B evidence, which we talked about Monday, which we could put a link to in case you want to watch that. Really good video. Interesting. I think I explained 404B evidence actually quite well. The gist of the witnesses that testified most recently, like I said, were the 404B type evidence to establish this pattern. And I'm not going to go into the graphic details. Perhaps we will do that on a Patreon link one of these coming days here real soon so that we can really go through it and say, man, this is not good. And if these witnesses are, in fact, this explicit and this powerful to the jury, ooh, could be bad for Mr. Weinstein for sure. But the gist of the witnesses today were they were aspiring young actresses. Harvey Weinstein would ask them to come back to his room. You know, very certain that they could probably do something professionally. And of course, you know, one time this gets to the room and he's there in a bathrobe and basically saying, why don't you come and join me and somebody else for some other matters. And basically when the person refused that they, in fact, Mr. Weinstein would say, you'll never make it in this business as this is how it's done. So whether that's the way it's done, Mr. Weinstein, it's certainly not right. And call me old-fashioned when I think that you should treat all women with dignity and respect, and not trying to be misogynistic, because I'm sure somebody will accuse me of that by simply saying that all people should be treated with dignity and respect, and women, and not because they're a weaker sect, no, because they deserve it, okay? That's why. Now, a terrible, terrible case out of Arizona, and this one is gonna just break your heart. And if there's small children listening, or you think maybe you just can't deal with this one because it involves children, you may want to cover your ears. But an Arizona woman, Rachel Henry, was indicted for smothering her three children, Zane Henry, 3, Mariah Henry, 1, and her youngest, 7 months old, Caitlin Rios. Ms. Henry was arrested last week after the police responded to a 911 call. They found all three children unresponsive, and even after attempting CPR, they were unable to revive any of the children. Apparently, Ms. Henry and her family had recently moved to Arizona from Oklahoma, and obviously there's issues there, perhaps particularly drug issues. It's alleged that Henry murdered Mariah first by placing her hands over the girl's mouth. Zane apparently tried to stop her mother, even punching her. Henry then chased her son, who was allegedly interrupted when relatives arrived home. One of the others played with the boy for a while, but Henry later took Zane into a back room where she straddled him and held his nose and mouth shut with her hands. She then smothered her infant daughter, singing to her as the girl passed away. Miss Henry then positioned the children on the couch as if they were napping, police allege in their affidavits. The police suspected that she is addicted to methamphetamines and that she was acting quite strange in the days up to the murder. Another senseless tragedy. Once again, we'll see how this case moves through the court system. Once again, not sure how someone can kill their children. A parent has one obligation. It's true throughout nature, and that is to protect their children. And when somebody doesn't do that, it goes completely against everything. And it's hard to imagine. Her attorneys that are going to be having that case are definitely going to have their hands full. But Ms. Henry, given the presumption of innocence, she's entitled to a defense, and let the process work, make sure it's fair, and, you know, most of the time, what everybody expects to happen does in fact happen, and justice will be served. Now, on to a lighter note, and to the dumb criminal of the day contestant. Yes, Spencer Allen Boston. Look at this guy. Does he look like a man of no concern? Does he look like a man who looks like he is high on pot as we speak? Yes, he does. Well, Monday, Mr. Boston was charged with disorderly conduct and simple possession after sparking up in the courtroom with a joint. It's unclear whether it was a joint or just maybe a blunt. But apparently, Mr. Boston was in court for a simple drug possession charge. As Mr. Boston was approaching the bench to discuss the sentence that he was going to receive, apparently he broke out in explanation as to his views on the legalization of marijuana, reached into his pocket, pulled out a marijuana cigarette, lit it, smoked it, and was immediately then taken into custody. Apparently the other courtroom participants and observers thought it was kind of funny and chuckled away. Now, here at Crime Talk, we are all about free speech and freedom of expression under the First Amendment. I assure you of that. So although Mr. Boston was expressing his First Amendment rights, probably not the best time and place to do it, but we like his good initiative, poor judgment. And for that poor judgment, he is the dumb criminal contestant of the day. We'll see if he makes it as the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Wait and see. We'll see you on Friday as well for that. Thanks for watching. Let me know what you think about Mr. Dulos, Heidi Broussard's case, and obviously Mr. Weinstein. And hey, what do you think about Spencer Boston, a.k.a. Jeff Spicoli? Doesn't he look like Jeff Spicoli? Anyway, have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk.